Good morning, and thank you for listening to the Elevation Podcast. This is a unique day for us in the life of our Elevation Podcast, as it's actually Monday morning. Due to a technical glitch yesterday, we failed to get the recording of the Sunday message. However, we are starting a brand new series, and this message that I'm about to share sets up the whole framework for understanding the series. So we felt it was valuable enough that we should re-record in studio, if you will, and post it up on the web to make it available. So let me pray for us, and we will get right into the message. Dear Lord, we just thank you so much that this morning, even through the gift of technology, we have the opportunity to still dig into your word, even though that didn't all happen successfully yesterday with the recording. We just thank you, Lord, that we can still, again, record the study of your word and the message that you have for our Elevation family that wasn't able to be with us yesterday. So we just pray a special blessing on this time as I'm here wanting to serve you, Lord, and share a message that you put on my heart in order to continue us moving forward as your followers, God. And we just look forward to your presence being the difference maker as we come with open hearts that want to learn from you, want to see you as our teacher. You are going to do great things in our lives. And for that, we thank you and just praise you in advance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we kick off the message with a question. Is that, do you know the vision of Elevation Church? If you don't, I would encourage you to check out our website and get a hold of that. It's something that's extremely simple. It's simply this: be disciples and make disciples. And that is that the core passion that God put on our heart to found this church is discipleship. That we want to give ourselves to learn, and that's what disciple means. Disciple simply means a student or a learner. And that we want to give ourselves to learn how to do life from the master. That Jesus, when he was on earth, he not only came to be the way for us through his life and his death and his resurrection, but he also came to show us the way that we were made to live, to show us the abundant life that we were designed for. And so as his followers, there's really no better way than to spend some time walking through one of the Gospels and really sitting at the feet of the Master and saying, Jesus, show us this new way of life in which you bring heaven to earth and invite your followers to experience the same. And so over the next few months, we're going to dive deep into the incredible Gospel of Mark as it puts the beauty of Jesus on display in really an incredible way, as I believe we're going to grow, that this process can grow each of us in life-changing ways if we open our hearts to him, and it really will fuel that fire of love for Jesus that we already have, and maybe just even little sparks of fire would be stoked into raging passion for who Jesus is and how much he's worth. So I want to kick us off with reading a passage. Yesterday, we had one of our high schoolers, Mandy, come up, a recently baptized part of our youth program that she is, and she read the scripture for us, and it was this. It's Mark 1, verses 1 to 15. But as a side note that I encouraged everyone yesterday, bring your Bibles. Bring your Bibles to the podcast. Bring your Bibles to Sunday. Throughout this series, instead of jumping around the scripture like some series call for, this series is going to keep us firmly planted in the book of Mark. And so it's really a neat opportunity to do some underlines and make some notes in the margins and really have a tool that you can use for much time to come in the future of your own pursuit of the Lord through your studies in the Word. So we're kicking off at Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 15. Out of the New Living Translation, it says this: this is the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. It began just as the prophet Isaiah had written, "Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him.'" Now this messenger was John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness and preached that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. And all of Judea and all of the people of Jerusalem went out to see and hear John. And when they had confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. His clothes were woven from coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food, he ate locusts and wild honey. And John announced, "Someone is coming who is greater than I am, so much greater that I am not even worthy to stoop down like a slave and untie the straps of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And one day Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. As Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy." The Spirit then compelled Jesus into the wilderness, where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. He was out among the wild animals, and the angels took care of him. But later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee, where he preached God's good news. "The time promised by God has come at last," he announced. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news." So I want to just start with a very simple point. That is, the very first words of the book of Mark say this. This is the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. And so this book is all about the good news, which is Jesus. That statement is very significant. The good news is about Jesus. Jesus is the good news. An important side note to that, this word good news, some of your translations may say gospel. Just so you know, it is important to see that good news and gospel are the same word. In Greek, it's euangelion, exactly the same word translated into English as good news and gospel. So anytime you see those, one of those phrases throughout the book of Mark, that they are the same thing. But back to that point, this gospel starts by saying there is some good news. It's finally come. We have all been waiting for it. John the Baptist did his part to prepare the way and to prophesy that he was coming. He said of this man, Jesus, "He's greater than I am, so much greater. I'm not even worthy to stoop down like a slave and untie the strap of his sandals," because he is, in fact, the long-awaited Messiah. And Messiah simply means anointed one. And it has the sense of a person on whom the Spirit of God rests in order to be empowered for God's work. And we see this as Jesus gets baptized. In verse 10, as it says, as Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. Now, there's something very unique about him. Other people have been anointed before, but nobody like this. The Holy Spirit of God has anointed him, or rests upon him so much that his presence on earth is opening up the heavens. And we will see more of this later. But there is a dynamic power to the way in which the presence of Jesus opens heaven to earth through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus speaks for the first time in the book of Mark, and it's the gospel. It says, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel, or good news, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. So repent and believe in the gospel." Now, another note about the book of Mark here that's very significant to see is that it's no coincidence that this gospel proclamation that Jesus gives is at the very beginning of the book of Mark, nor is it a coincidence that they are the very first words of Jesus' mouth. This is a literary technique to say that this is a summary of what Jesus is all about and a summary of what the book of Mark is all about. It's about the gospel. Now, we know that it's a summary because this certainly isn't the fullness of how Jesus preached every time he opens his mouth. He didn't always just say, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." So that repent and believe is actually more of how you respond. So The gospel nutshell sentence is simply, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Now that's the good news in a nutshell. But we know through other teachings that Jesus gives that he expands on that, and that's the whole point. That's the rest of the book of Mark, is Jesus putting on display the good news of how the kingdom of God is at hand. But it's key for us to see, right at the beginning of the book, this is what it's going to be all about. And this is what Jesus is all about. The good news that the kingdom of God is at hand. So we want to spend our time today just looking at that summary passage and walking through some of the key aspects of that passage. There are a few words in that phrase of the gospel that Jesus shares that have some deep meaning to them, that we're going to walk through and unlock them. And as we do that, we see the breathtaking power and beauty of the gospel that Jesus is preaching. So the first word that's really key is time. Jesus said the time has come, or the time is fulfilled. So to see the contrast or the power of that word, it's important to contrast that in the original language that the New Testament was written, Greek, that there are two words for time. One of them is the place or the word from which we get chronology. And this word is chronos. And it refers to the sequential passing of time, like a clock. If you're watching a clock or a watch, there's the tick-tock of the seconds that turn into minutes, which turn into hours, days, weeks, months, years, etc. And time passes sequentially. That's chronology. That's chronos time. But it's very important to note that that's not the kind of time that is used here in this passage. Instead, it's a word kairos, which carries the nuance of an appointed time, a significant moment, or even a turning point, a life-changing moment. One of the ways that you can see the difference of this is that if you charted a timeline of your life, you know, from 1979 to 2012, my 32 years of existence, or maybe it's 20 or 40 or 60 or 80 years of existence, all that time span, that's your chronos, your chronological years. But if someone asked you to mark out the most significant moments of your life, the turning points, those moments which were either good or bad, but they shaped you, they had a powerful effect on who you are and who you became, those are kairos moments. Those are turning points. Those are life-changing moments. And Jesus is saying that the gospel is that one of those kind of life-changing moments is here. A kairos moment is here. But why? Why is a life-changing opportunity or a turning point moment here? Why is it here? Well, he said, because the kingdom of God is at hand. So what does he mean by that? What is the kingdom? And I'm going to cheat a little bit here and take us to the book of Matthew, where Jesus succinctly defines the kingdom. But on one hand, that's what the rest of this entire series about the book of Mark is going to be defining. Because if Jesus said the gospel is the kingdom of God is at hand, and the whole book is about the gospel of the kingdom, then as we see Jesus live and talk and interact with people and do life, what he is demonstrating for us is what the kingdom of God is all about. So in essence, that's what the study of the book of Mark is going to be. But for today, to help us out with our succinct definition of the gospel, I'm going to take us quickly to the book of Matthew, where Jesus famously responds to his disciples when they say, Jesus or Lord, teach us to pray. And he responds to them with the Lord's Prayer, what's become known as the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then here comes the nugget about the kingdom. Jesus says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now those are some parallel phrases there. Your kingdom come, and now here's the parallel phrase that's meant to define kingdom coming. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in other words, the kingdom is simply when heaven comes to earth. And that's actually Jesus' prayer, is that more of heaven would touch earth. And we know what heaven is, right? Heaven is that time, that place in which God finally reigns in his rightful place so that everything lives according to the perfect destiny that God has for it. So that there's no more pain or suffering or broken lives. Heaven is when things get perfected and healed and made whole. That's that time we're looking forward to. But Jesus radically puts our understanding of when on it, turns that on its head and says, my prayer is that heaven would come to earth now. And that's the kingdom, is that when tastes of heaven get experienced on earth now, some of that future goodness and perfection that God has for us when the fullness of the kingdom comes, Jesus is saying, let that begin now. And we see this even in the early passages of Mark that we already read. So that as Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. Now this is a very interesting passage, that heavens are splitting apart over Jesus. And what does that mean? I believe it's meant to mean that Jesus' life, heaven has opened above him, the power of God rests upon him, and now his life is a demonstration of heaven. His life is a taste of heaven on earth through the Holy Spirit empowering him. He is humanity perfected. He is showing us the possibility and potential that humanity is made for. Starting with the capacity for our relationship with God and everything that flows out of that in his character, in his power, in his passion. Ultimately, what humanity is going to experience in its fullness in heaven, but Jesus' life is demonstrating that it begins now in him. And watch this, even for us, is that same Holy Spirit that empowered him to be a taste of heaven on earth. John the Baptist says this about it. That I, John, will baptize you with water. This is verse 8 of Mark 1. I will baptize you with water, but he, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So that same Holy Spirit power that enables a breakthrough of heaven in Jesus' life, Jesus is going to give to you, his follower, so that you can experience heaven open and breaking into your life. Whew, that's some good news. Because what is that going to look like? It's going to look like God truly being made king, right? Every kingdom has a king, and the king reigns. And that's where the battle is. Because naturally, all of us want to be king. And we rebel against God trying to be king. And we try to make ourselves king and push God out. And whether it's overtly a conscious decision or not, every single one of us lives with actions and motivations and desires that respond to God in a way that says, no, you know what? No thanks, God. I've got this. Hey, it's cool, man. It's under control. I'm going to take this on and I'm going to do life in my strength according to my plans and my ambitions and my wisdom. For really, ultimately, for my glory. But sooner or later, that makes a mess of life. And it results in what every human being ever lived has experienced, that apart from God, when we try to be the king or the queen of our own life, life gets messy and we end up full of pain, brokenness, emptiness, frustration. And Jesus' good news is that the kingdom of God is at hand, that heaven wants to break in so that when God becomes king and the kingdom comes into our life, God is made to reign as king over every aspect of who we are, every thought, every action, every motivation, every desire. Think of your life, every affection, every dream, every decision. That's the kingdom coming that results then in the transformation of our life from the brokenness, from the pain, from the emptiness, the frustration, towards the wholeness and the healing and the perfection of heaven. When God reigns, it feels like heaven. It is heaven. It's a taste of heaven. and other places in the Bible, the fruit of this heavenly experience is called the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's that same Holy Spirit who breaks open heaven above Jesus' life and will break heaven into our life and produce heavenly fruit like joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, humility, power, hope. Those fruits that we just absolutely cannot manufacture. Real peace, real deep joy, real love. Wow. Those are the things that, man, if money could buy, we'd be all over it, but we just can't make that stuff happen. That is not the fruit of my life when I am king. The fruit of my life when I'm king is the opposite. It's anxiety, it's fear, it's anger, it's selfishness, it's despair. And God's saying, no, I want to bring a taste of heaven that you can't produce. When I'm king, I bring it into your life, and you truly are transformed. So the kingdom is more of heaven's future goodness and perfection breaking into the status quo of our life now. It's not perfect yet. It's not complete yet. That's when the kingdom fully comes, when Jesus returns again. But glimpses are possible now, Jesus is saying. That's his prayer for our life, that the kingdom would come. And finally, the last important phrase for us to look at in this gospel summary, that the time has come. The kingdom of God is at hand. Now, in order to demonstrate the power of these two little words, yesterday in the church service, I asked a volunteer, Ian, another one of our junior hires who's just recently got baptized, and he came up on stage, and I asked him to turn away from me. He was standing right next to me, and I asked him to turn around and walk away from me until he heard some really good news, and then to feel free to respond however he might feel was, you know, appropriate. So he turned around, and then I said, but wait, today, Ian, oh, wow, do I have some good news, brother. I have actually a life-changing moment right here. That there is just baked fresh this morning and dipped in sugar and twisted around and chocolatey covered. There is a donut, low-cal, high-protein, chocolate twist donut at hand. And I reached out my hand and, you know, had a little napkin on it, put on top, and I reached it out, and it was right behind him. And I said, so Ian, there's this life-changing moment right here. This chocolatey twist donut is at hand. And he just stood there, and he didn't turn around. And I said, man, it's at hand. It is at hand, brother. What should you do? You know, and some of the people in the congregation and the church family start saying, dude, eat it, grab it, turn around. And he wasn't responding. And finally, I was like, it's okay, man. It's at hand. Do something with it. And he turned around and he grabbed it. I said, you know, grub on that thing. It's at hand. This is life-changing, brother. A life-changing opportunity. It's a donut right at hand. So finally, he kind of started enjoying it and taking some bites. And in this strange moment, I kind of felt like, well, maybe, wow, is that how God is with us? That he literally is saying, I've got a life-changing opportunity for you. And it's right at hand. And the implied invitation of that good news is reach out and grab it. The implied invitation of at hand is it's right in front of you. So grab onto that good news. Take hold of more of heaven in your life. Now see, I believe with all my heart that there is an implied invitation, because otherwise, what is that? What is God saying? Hey guys, I got this life-changing opportunity. More of heaven is right here within reach. It's at hand. And what? We're going to turn around and try to grab it, and God's going to like the donut, like I'm going to pull it away from me and say, ha ha, you know, sucker, that was just for me. I just wanted to see if you would reach out. You know, it's not really for you. You can't have any. Ha ha. I mean, that would be absolutely insane. And on the other hand, though, God's not going to force it. He's not going to shove it down our throat. You know, Ian was turning away from me, and I had this donut, and I wanted him to have it. I was looking forward to giving him this gift. But I'm not going to shove it in his face when he's not looking. Hey, you, why this donut? I mean, you know, in a strange way, that was an accurate picture of what God does in our life. If we want to turn and walk away and never respond, he's not going to force us. He'll say, okay, if you want to do life on your own, with your own according to your own wisdom and what you think's best and be the king and queen of your life, he'll let us. But that's a road of pain and emptiness and brokenness. And so the good news Jesus is saying is that if we put all these things together, these three words, the gospel or the good news that Jesus proclaims in Mark 1, simply this: there is a life-changing opportunity to take hold of more of heaven in your life. The gospel is simply this: that there is a life-changing opportunity to take hold, to taste more of heaven in your life now. And that is good news. That is good news. Now, we are going to spend the whole book of Mark looking at that. But first, I want to ask a question for all of us to ponder. Is that how we understand the gospel? If someone had asked you before this message began, what is the gospel? How might you have answered? Now, there's a very typical answer out there in our American Christianity that says the gospel is that Jesus died so that I could go to heaven after I die. And what we've seen today is that is not the gospel that summarizes the essence of what Jesus wants to communicate and the essence of what the book of Mark is all about. The summary that Jesus begins his ministry with is that the gospel is that Jesus lived and died and resurrected in order to bring heaven to earth now. The gospel is not that Jesus died so you could go to heaven when you die, but that Jesus died so that he could bring heaven to earth now, in part, and welling up to its fullness in eternity. And that is good news. That is good news because I could use some more heaven in my life now. Thank goodness, thank God, thank the gospel that I don't have to wait till I die to taste the goodness of heaven, to transform the brokenness, the hurt, the pain in my life. Thank God. Praise be to Jesus that the good news that he came to earth for, lived for, died for, was resurrected for, is that heaven can break in to my life right now, today, as I let him be king over every aspect of my life. But that's getting us onto the question of how. How do we grab hold of the gospel? And that's next week. Next week, we're going to continue right in this flowing along in the book of Mark, and Jesus answers that question for us. He shows us how we can grab hold of more tastes of heaven in our life now. So come back next week and we're going to dive into that. But before we get there, I want to close by looking at this framework to make sure we've got this as we go ahead in the book of Mark, as we proceed. This is a framework for understanding Mark. That the book of Mark, the entire book, is meant to put on display how Jesus, in his life, brings more of heaven to earth and then invites his followers to experience the same in their life. And that's the gospel. So let's look for that in the book of Mark. Let's look for Jesus. Let's look for heaven opening over him. Heaven is open, and so everything he does is meant to be a display of how heaven wants to break in to the status quo of earth and turn it upside down and bring a taste of heaven to renew, to transform into the fullness, the goodness, the wholeness, the healing that God destines and intends for our lives. Jesus models that like no one else we've ever seen or ever will see. But the incredible reality is then he invites and says to all his followers, that's the gospel for you too, that heaven is right within reach right now. The time has come, a life-changing opportunity for you to experience more heaven. Grab hold of it. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just want to pause our time today and just praise you. That is good news. That is incredible news. That is the best news we have ever heard. That you want to bring heaven into our life now. That your kingdom is that when your will is done on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you, Lord, that this is your idea. And next week we're going to get more into how we can grab hold of it. But this week we just want to praise you, and we're going to stop there just to reflect and thank you, God. That it's your love that pursued us. It's your goodness and mercy and grace that decided to, at great cost to yourself, come from heaven to earth and live that perfect life, die on our behalf, resurrect from the dead in order to demonstrate for us the kind of life we're made for, but also make that life possible by dying in our place so that we could be forgiven and you could show us grace. And as your word says, it could be your good pleasure to give us the kingdom, to enable us that life-changing opportunity to experience heaven beginning now and welling up into its fullness in eternity. We just thank you for that, Lord, and we look forward, God, to sitting at your feet in this book of Mark's study and learning from the Master and seeing the ways in which you brought heaven to earth and you invite us to experience that transformed life of more and more heaven in our life now. We praise you, Jesus, and just humbly ask for your Holy Spirit to baptize us like John the Baptist promised you'd love to do. Baptize us with the fire of your Holy Spirit that empowers us to be transformed from a life where we are the king or the queen of our own life, and little by little we give that up more and more to you and watch how your Holy Spirit transforms us to be full of your heavenly fruit. In Jesus' name, we pray these things and thank you. Amen. More podcasts and updates, go to weareelevation.com. Also, follow us on Twitter at weareelevation and on Facebook, facebook.com/weareelevation.